Welcome to Humble Pie podcast. This is the podcast that is life admin for your soul.
My name is Teresa.
And I'm Mush.
And we are your hosts.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Humble Pie podcast.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Today is episode 11. Oh my gosh, episode 11. How did that happen?
Double digits. Oh, well, we're already on double digits,
aren't we? Wow, I can't believe it's been 11. But yes, thank you. Welcome. If this is your first one, welcome.
Yes.
If you have been with us from episode 1, what a
love
G. You. We love you.
Love
we appreciate you. And yeah, we hope you're blessed. Today's theme is I am forgiven.
Yes.
And before we get into it, we love to hear from you. We love, if you get in touch, let us know what you think about the topics we talk about, the verses, all our different segments. So the best ways to get in touch with us would be via Instagram. So social media. Do we have a Twitter?
We have it. It is set up.
We have a Twitter. Woo!
It's
Twitter.
Set up. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
That's about it.
So it is podcast.humble.pie on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we post, Teresa posts regularly. You can DM us or like put comments on the different posts if you have questions, ideas, anything like that. And then also you can get in touch with us via email. So podcast.humble.pie@gmail.com
yes.
is our email address. And we would love to hear from you. The feedback or just opening up the conversation with everybody who listens is like just such a blessing. So if you think something, if you have an idea, if you have a comment, if you want to say, oh yeah, that reminds me of this other verse, whatever it is, like we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we have a short amount of time as well, so every other angle obviously we can't discuss. With the time confines we have, but we can extend the conversation further, we can look at it different ways, and we're like, it's fun.
Cool. So in today's Bible reading segment, my verse is about forgiveness. I have chosen Matthew 18, and it's from verses 21, I think, to the end of the chapter. And I'm reading the NIV version. So this is the parable of the unmerciful servant. So I'll read it. It goes, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 bars of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and that all he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went to their master and told him everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So I kind of wanted to use today's theme to talk about forgiveness amongst ourselves with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt like, you know, with the journey of being saved, you can start to see how much God is patient with you.
Yeah.
How much he like saves you from yourself,
mm-hmm.
saves you from like the world,
mm-hmm.
and how precious that relationship with him is.
Mm-hmm.
and you know how much he was willing to sacrifice and give up for us to have access to that relationship. But then equally, you know, there are some things I do find very hard to forgive. Mm-hmm. And the hardest things to forgive for me are things I feel justified in.
Mm-hmm.
Things that it's like, well, no, that shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
That wasn't right. That isn't okay. And anybody would look at me and be like, yeah, no, you're right. That shouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. And you're the one that wrong was done to or whatever. And yeah, I was reading this. I was praying about it and I felt like God mm-hmm. wanted me to share this one today. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the servant was in his... He was right to say, you should pay me back my 100 silver coins.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he owed 10,000 gold bags of coins and that debt was cancelled, he still did have every right technically to say, I want my silver coins back,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's like, given the weight of what he's just received, the forgiveness,
yes.
the cancelling of his own debt,
yeah.
it's like, surely you can't now turn around and be demanding things of people when you know how much you yourself owed mm-hmm. and how much you yourself had to, you know, how much you yourself deserve for the debt you had. How can you then go around and turn around to other people and be like, oh, well, you still owe me this for that?
Is it always as clear as day as this parable is stating, though? Because can you imagine, he went and received mercy and he felt like he couldn't give the same mercy to someone else.
Mm.
So I'm trying to think of situations where you feel like you're so right and you're so justified,
mm.
but in the way that that person hurt you or annoyed you
mm.
or surprised you, you literally go and do the same thing mm. to someone else and feel like you're justified in that. That
yeah.
is so interesting, isn't it?
It's crazy because it, like, if you, like, for me, if I really, really reflect on it, it happens so much. There are certain things where I just feel like, I think particularly, like, oh gosh, I don't want to go into the specifics of, like, things I find hard to forgive, but if something's been done to, like, me
mm-hmm.
or my family or, like, my country, my nation, my race, my religion,
mm-hmm.
I'm like justified to be angry,
mm-hmm.
right? I have, like, that anger is completely fair. But it's then like, does that
yes.
anger, which is justified, turn into unforgiveness?
What is it?
And yeah. I guess I think that's the hard bit. That's the thing I guess I need grace from God to figure out.
Yeah, it's not easy at all, is
no.
it? Yeah.
Yeah. Side note, guys, I've got hay fever today, so if I'm sniffling, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, but it's not contagious. You won't catch it. Teresa won't catch it.
Yeah, I'm the one that's in real danger. You guys are good.
True.
No, but, and also as well, at the end of the parable as well, it's like, this is the same way that God will treat you. So that person, that servant got the person thrown into prison, but I don't think in the parable we hear anything about torture or anything like that.
No.
So it's just thrown in prison, you serve out your time until you pay back. But this master threw this servant into prison with torture on top of it, and you have to pay the money back. So he
made it
is
worse
doubly
for himself.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if he'd have just originally been like, all his possessions sold to cancel the debt, that would have been bad enough. But now it's like, okay, he could have just been thrown in jail, that would have been bad enough. But now it's like jail and torture because
you're just awful.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of, it is fair enough, isn't it? If somebody came to you and was like, oh, you owe me 10 grand, but I'm gonna let that go, and then you go punch someone in the street over £10, you'd be like, you've lost it. Like,
it sounds, it makes so much sense, but I'm just trying to imagine something that would happen now where I'd feel like, nope, it's gonna take me forever and ever to get over this. I'm really trying to think of something.
Like, say somebody hurt
because
someone
it
you
happened
love.
Physically or emotionally or both. Don't say both. You have to choose.
Not
one.
But okay, I won't choose both. Like, say physically. Like, say somebody, like, oh gosh, this is heavy, but like, say someone killed someone you really love.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, probably that's the wrong thing for me, because I feel like no one is justified in killing anyone at all. Because like, killing is the end. You literally snatch that person's life away.
Yeah.
So I don't think any killing is justified in terms of retaliation. So that's what we had the justice system there for. But I don't know, maybe harm ends, if someone has killed someone, then you harm them, but not necessarily kill them. So like if you put them in a wheelchair, it's like, eh, they deserved it, right? Yeah. I'm not a nasty person, people.
Gosh, this has gotten a bit heavy. I think if you're killed is like too much of a bad example. Let's say like somebody stole from you. Like a lot. So you'd like been saving up loads, you had like plans and things.
Okay.
And somebody like came for your money, you know, that you'd worked hard for, and they just stole it.
I don't know. No. I think we're getting away from the parable. Because not what happened, is it, though?
No.
Because there was, it's consent. Everybody was consented. There was no like
It's true.
Yes, you can.
It's true.
Yeah, there was no deceit. Yeah, that's
a that's very true. That, that everybody knew where each other stood. They knew what their debts were. They understood them.
And they just wanted more time.
Yeah.
And one guy couldn't forgive that he didn't get the money as soon as he wanted. So the servant, the master, was able to forgive and give the servant time, but that
he didn't even give him time, he just cancelled the debt.
Oh,
yeah, he said your debt is cancelled.
Yes,
cancelled the debt and let him go. That's verse 27.
Yes, it's true.
Wow, yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So this guy was now like debt free, like a weight lifted. His whole family and all his possessions were literally going to be sold. And all of that just cancelled because somebody like took pity on him.
And then this guy said, give me time.
Yeah.
Not even please cancel the debt. He said, give me time. He couldn't give him the time. We need to do better, don't we?
Yeah. We need to do better. But I just thought this was like I mean, this is, you know, what Jesus himself says about forgiveness. This is not relating specifically to God's forgiveness of us, but kind of how we forgive each other. I think though what I thought was also interesting is like the first servant owed the king 10,000 bags of gold. That's what the first servant's debt was, right? And so then that was cancelled and the king let him go. But then the fellow servant owed him just 100 silver coins. So 10,000 bags of gold and that debt was cancelled. Versus 100 silver coins. Like, the two don't even care. Like, 10,000 bags of gold is like 16 lorries full of gold or something. And 100 silver coins is like a tenth of a bag of just silver, right? Silver is less valuable than gold anyway. So it's like the magnitude of difference is so big. And I think that that is testament to how much God has forgiven us, where he's like, I've seen it all. I've seen the truth of, like, you know, the sin in our hearts, and he's forgiven it and said, that's done, that's dealt with. But then for us to then be like, oh, but I want my 100 coins from so-and-so. Like, when you compare the two, it's like how...
they're incomparable.
If that's what forgiveness is, if God would forgive so much, we have to find a way to find it in our hearts to forgive the little afflictions that have been pushed against us. Not to say that it's easy, you know, it's not to say that it's like that that maybe that unforgiveness has a genuine root. Like, so if you've been hurt or if you're owed a debt, you are owed a debt, but in against the magnitude of what God has done in the context of forgiveness, you know. You know, that second servant, he could have had more time. That's all he was asking for, was more time. You know, he didn't. Yes, maybe the punishment would have been fair, but actually against the weight of what the first servant had been forgiven, it just seems like completely out of control, you know?
Well, it says at the beginning, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? And Jesus said to him, up to 70 times, but up to 70 times 7. Infinity in those times.
Exactly.
So infinity now, in fact. Yes. Okay. Okay, so I've chosen... I've been a bit naughty this week because I'm literally, like, jumping from chapter to chapter. But bear with
okay.
me.
That's all right.
So we start at, first of all, 1 John 1, verses 8. And I'm reading the New King James Version. So it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And then I want to jump to chapter 2, so 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
Sorry.
Bless you. Okay, so I'll read that. It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. And I just jumped to verse 28. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Amen.
Amen.
I know it's a lot to take in.
Yes.
It's a lot of reading, a lot of verse, a lot of chapter. But just to summarize what I'm trying to get at, it was said already, but what I want to say is no one on this earth right now and no one except Jesus has not ever sinned. So God knows this, but we are asked to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness.
Mm.
In that way, we acknowledge this and can move on and be unashamed when we stand before the throne of God on Judgment Day.
Mm.
As we always come back to it, Jesus paid the price and we are forgiven. We are righteous because of the sacrifice that he made.
Mm.
So in terms, I think it's probably the end of chapter 1 that is the crux of everything. Ooh, why am I in Timothy?
Is this in John?
Yes, 1 John. Why did I go to okay, anyway, I won't say anything. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So unforgiveness is a sin.
Mm.
It is actually a sin. But if we take everything to God's throne, take it to him, and be like, Father God, this person hurt me and I just don't know how to let it go. Mm. It's really eating at me. You need to take it to God and be like, please give me the strength to forgive in the way that you have forgiven my sins, in the way that you have told me to forgive 70 times 7, the way that you have forgiven 100 bags of gold. I need to forgive these 100 coins. Mm. So give me the strength to do that. So God loves it when we lean on Him and ask Him to give us the strength. So I think everybody needs the strength of God to be able to forgive. Mm. Obviously, certain things are silly and they should instantly
be forgiven. Yeah,
but if it's something like life-changing or something very really heavy major, on your
spirit. Yeah.
Something you feel like, how could this person do that to me? It's so personal. Yeah.
Mm.
He gives the grace to forgive.
Yeah. I really like that, like the logic of that, of the end of chapter 1 John 1, how it's like, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. If you claim not to have sinned, then we're essentially saying He's lying.
Mm.
And so then we haven't been forgiven. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's like, in order to receive the forgiveness, we have to acknowledge that we need it.
Yes.
And then once you know you need it, you then also can no longer claim that you can't give it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, it's like, if kind of, yeah. if you think about the parable I brought up, it's like the first servant went to the king knowing he had debt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why it got cancelled. Because
mm-hmm.
he begged and said, I know that I have debts, but please cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whereas and here similarly,
so he knows forgiveness.
Yeah, because we acknowledge we're sinful and we take it to God and say, look, here's my debt, right? If you mm-hmm. call sin debt, here's my debt. And then that's when you can receive the forgiveness, because you've acknowledged it. You mm-hmm. can't get the forgiveness without acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe I just think that's like really simple logic of just like what salvation is. Once you know that you need God, once you know, okay, I'm a bit broken,
mm-hmm.
that's how you can get fixed. You have to acknowledge it. So anybody who says they haven't sinned cannot be forgiven because they haven't acknowledged it.
Yeah. So in a long roundabout way, and that's what I was trying to say, I probably should have just read 1 John 8 and be done with it. But no. Enjoy the word of God, because always. It all ties in.
I just find it so fascinating how like we'll pick completely different parts of the Bible and they're essentially saying very similar things. It's like, oh, this is cool.
And look at us, we fooled ourselves into thinking that we would be like totally different side of the spectrum, and then somehow,
it's almost like, because we don't tell each other the verses before like we record each episode, so we're like thinking, oh, maybe we'll come up with something completely different, and then always are like, oh, no, yes, God's saying the same thing. Yes. unsurprisingly,
definitely. I'll add that disclaimer, because God's word is always the same, never changed throughout all of the generations before, throughout all creation. True. It's still the same. He doesn't bend to trends or changes.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, so I have a question for you then. So what would you say, like, well, it's a double-sided question. So first of all, what would you say has been the impact of knowing you're forgiven by God on your life? And then two, like, what has forgiving other people done for you?
Whoa, what are these big life questions? Oh my gosh.
Okay, you can pick, how about this? You pick one to answer, either one, and then I'll answer whichever one you don't answer. I'm just completely surprised her with this.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. What does it mean? Okay, I'm going to paraphrase your question to make it easier.
Yeah.
To make it understandable. I don't know. What does it mean to me that I've been able to forgive someone else?
Oh, so what does it mean? So either, what does knowing you are forgiven by God, what does that mean to you? Make it as long and short an answer as you want. Or the second question would be, what has forgiving someone else done for you?
Okay. second one is easier,
okay,
actually.
Yeah, go for it, yeah.
Okay, forgiving someone else has given me freedom. Because you know when you can't forgive someone, they have some kind of invisible hold on you. So let's say, for example, you might have gone to Westfield Shopping Centre. You haven't spoken to the person. You don't like the person. You don't want to hear anything about them. And then you happen to walk past each other. And it's not like, oh, I've seen you from all the way over there. It's like you're actually walking past each other. And that person could bring up feelings of rage inside you. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's bubbling, bubbling. And it's like, how can... God understands that you need to forgive this person, because the path that you're heading down, or should I say the path that I'm heading down, is worse than the unforgiveness sin that I'm already committing. It's going to lead to other things. I'm going to go and gossip. I'm going to slander the person's name, so on and so forth. So being able to ask God to give me the strength to be able to let it go, to be able to be grown enough to have that conversation with that person, be like, yo, this and this happened, this is why I feel that type of way. I think it's the wisdom of God that's given me the strength to be able to speak to someone and sort it out in terms of just holding it in and letting it bubble inside and rage. And who wants to walk around raging?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to walk around raging, and I think it's easy to walk around raging.
I think it's like people, you know, it's easy to feel justified in it, but you're right. When you don't forgive someone or something, it has a hold over you. It can occupy your mind. It can instantly turn you from being positive and happy to just completely filling you with like pain, as you say, raging. And so it's like, well, thank God we have a solution out of that. Like, if you don't know God, what do you do with those feelings? You know, like, if you don't have God to take it to you and you're
enraged,
who
do you take it to?
What do you do?
You take it to your friend, to the internet, to the newspaper, and go and tell everyone and make something that was on a 10 into a 1,000.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're so right. People are moving mad. I think maybe that's like what, you know, these like trolls who just go around looking, say hateful things. It's like, listen, let it go. Man. Like, why are you, something inside them is like raging, as you say.
So you answer question
okay,
one.
Okay, so question one.
Question one, yeah.
Question
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
So what has knowing I'm forgiven by God done for me? Similar answer, actually. I would say it has made me feel like I'm free. I don't have to hold the like shame, regret, or guilt of things I've done. Because I think there's nothing quite like letting yourself down. Stuff that has happened to you, kind of be like, okay, well, look, I couldn't control that. You know, I fell over when I was 3 and hurt my knee, whatever, like, you know. But there's things like to be forgiven of sin is like intentional things that I've done that were not good, not from God. To know that those don't count against me, that I'm not a product of those things, is like incredible. I think that is like such a gift because, you know, you do meet people who are consumed by regret and consumed by guilt and consumed by shame and they can't see anything more in themselves than what they've been or done, even if they've changed now. And there are things like that I found hard to forgive myself of, but God really challenged me of like, look, if I'm going to forgive you for it, there's no reason you can hold it against yourself now, because if God says it's okay, who am I to say it's not? So yeah, that's what I'd say. It means I'm free. I can be my best self.
Yes.
So we've come to this week's Life Admin section. And in Life Admin today, I have just been thinking, there's a quote I always say to all of my friends, and that is that there are 7 billion of us on the planet. It's probably more, 7.5. There's a lot of people, basically. And so when you recognize that somebody is intentionally, repeatedly hurting you or damaging you in some way, it is okay to let them go. Now, I will put some caveats around that. Mm-hmm. I think if you are in a marriage, I do think you need to stay and make it work as much as you can. But if they are abusive, then you do need to look after yourself. And I do think with family, we do need to really push and try. But I also really recognize that if you can see somebody's repeatedly doing something that hurts you or damages you, and you have a conversation with them, you articulate it, which is not easy to do, but you communicate that to them in a clear way, and so you know they understand. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer that they're doing it out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. It's now they know, okay, when I do X, I get the result of Y, which hurts her.
Mm-hmm.
And if they repeatedly do that after you communicating, look, this is important to me, this is painful for me, because maybe you could discuss it and they say, oh, actually, I didn't realize it came across like that, this is how I meant it, and then you can actually say, oh, okay, well, I won't get offended anymore, I won't get upset, because mm-hmm. now I understand the intention. Mm-hmm. So then that's great, the problem doesn't exist. But if it is a problem that is repeated and it does hurt you, and they can see that it hurts you, you know it hurts you, it is okay to walk away. And yeah, I just really stand by that. There are 7 billion of us. Like, you can find more good people who will support you, who will value how you feel,
mm-hmm.
who won't intentionally try to hurt you. We'll all hurt each other, upset each other, offend each other, because mm-hmm. we have different, like, frames of references and cultures, and we're just different people. But when it's intentional, I really do think, keep in mind that you have options, that there are more people out there, and there are loads of good people, loving people, kind people. So yeah, that's my life admin for this week.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, I think that's tackling one of the hardest things. I think the hardest thing to do is to let go of people.
Mm.
Probably in terms of how much you have put into that relationship, you might feel like, because of all the time and the love, maybe money, whatever I have invested in this, this cannot be the end. This cannot finish now. But I totally agree with you. If it's repeated and you have made yourself clear, therefore it's an intentional.
Yeah.
If that person is not moving in love, looking for the best for you, yeah, you need to let it go.
Yeah, you do have to.
It's the hardest thing. But you won't have that feeling all the time, if you get what I mean. So it will be hard in the beginning, but you'll be able to get through it. Like you're saying, there's 7 billion people on this earth. It's not like take your emotional baggage onto someone else.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly.
But you can make friends, relationships, whatever, with someone else.
Yeah.
This world is vast. We're not trees.
No.
We have not been made like trees
to
root into one place
one spot.
And just never diversify or go out from there.
Yeah, I think it's so important to like challenge your assumptions. Like, I think it's weird, you have breakups and friendships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
recently went through something like that, and as deeply painful it was and is, I can still see that there's like a release of pain from not being close to that person,
mm-hmm.
because yeah, I don't know, it's like you kind of get into these patterns or dynamics with people, and once you recognize that actually this isn't healthy, this isn't good for me, this is causing me pain, and you articulate that reaction from the other person gives you so much information about how they feel about you, but then also you open yourself up to other things because you don't have this negative influence, because there's no longer that pain. You're kind of again free to be like, okay, I will talk to people, and not everybody's negative, not everybody's down, not everybody wants, you know, to see bad things in my life or whatever.
And also, it's tough, but I challenge you to try and do it amicably as well. So don't mirror that pain that person has caused you, like we've been saying, to their forgiveness. So you need to forgive that person and to move on.
Yeah. Don't hold on to it.
Don't be that person. Don't ever turn into that person, but
yeah.
Let them go. It's like a Blue Cantrell song. What was that? Breathe. Do you remember that song? What a trivial reference, Mike.
It's old school. Love it.
You know these songs that come up and you're like, scream it at the top of your lungs type of songs.
I can't remember the melody, but I remember that line, just need to let it breathe. Yeah, I think that's so true. I think if you can, I always think end well. You never know, like the other person might be going through a really tough season and for whatever reason that energy comes towards you in a bad way, and then maybe in a couple of years, a couple of months, they'll come back and reflect on it and your relationship can be completely different in a positive way. And so I don't think there's need to burn bridges, but I do think there is a need to uphold what you need for yourself. If somebody is encroaching on like your emotional energy or like pushing on boundaries they shouldn't, or actively acting in destructive, painful ways, you are well within your rights to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And be clear with them, communicate with them. If they choose to continue, you can say, look, well, you can't be close to me. When you're ready to change, we can have a conversation. But for now, like, life is hard enough, man.
It is.
Like, and yeah, it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do, as you say. It's not something to do flippantly, because there needs to be grace and forgiveness, because none of us are perfect. But there does also have to be a point at which you take care of yourself, because you are precious and valuable. How you feel is valuable. And people who don't recognize that, like, you need to just go, basically. Yeah.
Okay, so that was a pretty deep life admin for this week. Yes. So welcome to the In Other News section, where I'm going to make it trivial.
lighten
things up a little bit. If I was listening, I'd probably roll my eyes. But don't. Listen. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
But so Meghan and Harry have had their baby boy. Whoop. Yay. Good for them. A couple has a child. Yay. So
man and wife having babies.
Celebrate it. But so I heard his name. His name is Archie. Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. I think it's Windsor.
I think that's it.
I love the Mountbatten Windsor.
Yeah,
that's cute.
Yeah,
I love
it's
double,
nice, yeah.
Double barrel names.
It's so Polish. It's like, yeah, of course you're a prince.
Yeah.
Mountbatten Windsor.
But I'm trying to look for like an African, like, double barrel name. I'm trying to think of one.
Oh, I'm so sure I know of many.
Yeah.
African names are like sentences. Like, they're like, like a whole...
That is true, actually.
It's like, we will be here declaring this name for hours.
So if your name is a sentence, you really want to add another sentence to it. I wonder. Mm. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about now. So he's called Archie, and I was like... And I thought it was short for Archibald, and it's not. It's actually just Archie.
Just Archie.
I was like, ah,
it's quite American,
I don't know. Yeah, Archie doesn't sound very regal to me. I know, there's no such thing as a regal name, but we're used to the Georges and the James and the Phillips and Johns.
Charlotte, Elizabeth, all of those
generic names. So, how much say should your family have in naming the child? So my mother said that my name is Teresa and my dad chose it because my grandma is Therese. So it's supposed to be Therese, but it's Teresa. So that was the influence from there. And I wonder how much influence family had on his name Archie. I doubt very much, because in terms of the family tree around them, nobody's name is so common, but not as regal as the other ones are.
Yeah, it's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So, I don't know. Do you like the name, first of all?
I have no opinion on it, to be honest. But I do think it sounds very American. So, Archie is quite like an American name.
Okay.
I don't know many English Archies. Any English Archies I know are Archibalds.
But I thought, like, the Archies, there's an Archie on it. Please don't come for me. EastEnders, isn't there like an Archie on there?
But what's his full name? But I've never really like met one, like in school, uni, like just life. I've never met an Archie. No, I've met one Archie and his full name was Archibald.
Okay.
And But an American, like, I feel like it's quite an American name.
Okay.
So when I saw that, I was like, okay, well, maybe like Megan chose it.
Mm.
Or maybe, I don't know.
Harry liked it too.
Harry liked it too, yeah. I mean, he clearly likes to do things differently. So
yeah,
it's like,
of course. He's probably, well, he's like, not going to be on the throne, so
no,
he can
exactly.
Do whatever.
He's just like, yeah. Whatever. So, I mean, I think it's a cute name for like a little child. I don't know, yeah, so I don't have a strong opinion on it.
That's what I was saying, because I was like, the royal family, although I respect whatever, I just don't care for them.
Yeah, I
but
mean...
But I thought, take it with the angle of the names.
Yeah, no, like, I think that... I mean,
how, when you have your children, how are you going to name them?
Oh, I already know my children's names.
Oh, see? So no one can tell you nothing.
Well,
then.
No. So the thing is, I know what one of their names will be.
Okay.
But like, so me and my siblings all have a first name, two middle names, and
mm-hmm.
then a surname.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, if my husband of the future
mm-hmm.
wants different names for our children, like, we need to agree. But I definitely love... I think a name, like, children grow into it. They become their names. Particularly, like, where I'm from in Zimbabwe,
mm-hmm.
the name you
they
give your
mean
child,
something.
It becomes something. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's really,
mm-hmm.
like, a powerful blessing you put on your child,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my name means sunshine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lovely.
And, like, my sister's means queen, my brother's means peacemaker, my other brother means, like... like somebody who's really fruitful.
If you take it to Nigeria, who'd actually be called peacemaker?
Yeah, no. Trust me, there's even those. So I think I am quite particular about the names that I would want for my children.
Mm-hmm.
I really know. I have one girl's name and one boy's name.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some that I like more than others. But I am aware that these are not just my children. They are firstly God's children. So
mm-hmm.
I would lean on him to be like, what are we
what
gonna
name?
Do here? But then also they'd be me and my husband's children.
I'm
husband
totally
of the
opposite
future.
To you. Like, I don't even know. I feel like I have to look at the child and be like, huh, you're a blah blah. And then that's how I choose the name. Because I feel
it.
Like with my friends and people I know, I don't call them necessarily by their full name.
Oh, yeah.
I've got loads of friends that I have nicknames for, and my phone looks silly, basically, because everybody's names are just nicknames. So I feel like I have to look at the child and see the child to get the name. So in terms of that, maybe family will give opinions and what they think.
Mm.
But I need to look at the child to make the
to
name.
To make a final decision.
Yeah.
No, I hear that. No, I think my children, regardless of what they look like, I'm pretty sure they're gonna...
But also, in American culture as well, there's a lot... Well, I think in some African countries, that they name the children after their parents.
Yeah.
So it's blah, blah, junior,
yeah,
the third,
true,
the
true,
second,
true,
all
true,
of that
true.
Stuff. Pretty unimaginative, but it does keep the line going, doesn't
true,
it?
True, it's unimaginative, but it's a bit of like ego, isn't it? I mean, I kind of get it though. Like, my name is my great grandfather's name, my great grandmother's name, my great great grandmother's name, my grandmother's name, and my mother's name. Those are my three names.
Okay.
Which I quite like because there's like a bit of legacy to it.
Yes.
But when families are as big as mine, you've got so many names to choose from. Like, in the heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I feel like naming children is also very, like, culturally specific. I know, like, is it in Nigeria, they have a big, like, naming ceremony?
Yeah, they have naming ceremony in Ghana as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's just we don't have one of those.
Okay.
No, not quite in the same
cool.
way.
Cool. Yeah, but, it is a big thing. Yeah, it's true, actually. Yeah, there's some people that put a lot of weight in on the name chosen for their children. This is very true, actually. I wonder how much weight in they put on choosing this name when they thought it was a cute name. So let's choose it.
I'd imagine they probably had like a selection and then picked one once they saw him.
They picked the boring one as far as I'm concerned.
I know, yeah. Archie. Oh, little Archie, bless him.
Oh, no. Call him Archibald.
Archibald. I know, I feel like that's...
Archibald. Or Sebastian.
Yeah, I know, yeah, like, I know.
Sebastian Harrison Mountbatten Windsor.
Yeah,
look, Sebastian, come on.
They should have called you.
Sebastian.
Been, I know he's going to have the right name. Let me call Teresa. And then he'd have been like, oh, hey, Megan, look, let me lay it down for you.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want your child to be regal, yeah, call him Archibald or Sebastian. So we have come to the end, but obviously we don't leave without the positive confession for this week. So it is, I will forgive others as God has forgiven me. I will let go of all hurt, pain, anger, and walk in the righteousness of Christ. No longer am I bound by sin. Amen.
I love that.
And the song recommendation is a song called Bless Me by JJ Hairston and Youthful Praise featuring Donnie McClurkin. It's like one of those American like choir spiritual songs. Yeah. And it's like a prayer, basically.
Nice, okay. I'll have a listen. I don't think I know it, but I'll have a listen.
It's not like one of those mainstream songs though. I hope you enjoy it. So thanks for rocking with us, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Know that you are forgiven.
Also, before we go, we got a little bit of feedback this week about some of our previous episodes.
Yes, we did. And
I want to say thank you so much, everybody who shared with us their thoughts and feelings. It was really good to hear what you think. And so we heard some stuff about the I Am Ambitious.
Ambitious and I Am Love as well.
Saying,
you're wrong. No, I'm joking. No, it was different types of love, I believe it is. And unconditional love. That was it. That was it. Family, we only have 40 minutes to speak about this. We can't be speaking about love for 2 hours.
2 hours, but we... it's good to hear because it's so nice. Like, we sit, we chat, we talk, and like when we hear back from you guys, it's like another third person joining us. So it's like, oh, cool, interesting. Don't be afraid to disagree with us or like tell us, or like if you have other verses that you think, oh, actually, let's add this to the mix. Like, we love it. So keep that coming.
Yes.
But yeah, be blessed. Thanks, guys.
Bye. This has been the Humble Pie Podcast.
Thank you for joining us. I have been Mush.
And I've been Teresa. Keep in touch and spread the word.
And be blessed.